I'm in a new series that I'm calling The Great Adventure, and my theme song is by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It talks about saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. It says, let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. There's life like no other. This is the great adventure. And so for me, I love horses. I grew up raising horses and riding horses and working horses. And so this really just speaks to me. And really what I want to say, and my question through this whole series is, are you ready? Are you ready for this great adventure into the glorious unknown that God has for us? And so we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks. You know, my dad was always, looking for the next adventure. He was the ultimate entrepreneur before that word was even cool to say. He owned his own construction company. He raised cattle and horses. He owned a newspaper, even though it was only the Mulberry Press, but, you know, he still owned a newspaper. He did this whole season of raising catfish. He actually found a whole dissertation on how to raise catfish. I didn't even know he knew how to write, let alone put a whole plan together like that. But he planted hundreds of thousands of pine trees across the state of Florida. He had his own sawmill, and on and on. He always was looking for the next adventure, the next thing that he could do. And he did that with our family as well. Every year, we would take an adventure, and he loved. I think when I was 8 years old, we went to Washington D.C. and he loved when the year began to begin to take a map. You guys know what a map is? You don't have a clue what a map is. I mean, he'd take a map, right? And he would take a big old yellow highlighter, and he would mark out our journey. And starting from South Mulberry, Pinedale, right out of there, all the way up to Washington, D.C., and every place that we would stop and all the adventures that we would take. And then he would come back a different direction and see other things. And throughout the year, we'd gather around that map around the table and just get excited about the adventure that he was creating for us. And then we would go and we would experience that. And so I kind of grew up. I kind of grew up having that inside of me. He kind of passed that spirit on in me. And so as a young kid, I would begin to just read books. I just love to read books about people who are on adventures. I'd read about people who climbed the Himalayan peaks or rode bicycles through Africa or sailed wooden boats across the Atlantic or trekked into restricted areas of China. And these tales and stories of adventure would fill my days and fill my imagination. But you know what? You get tired of reading about adventures, right? And you want to go to places on your own, right? And I would say things like, "When I grow up, I'm going to go there." And I think many of you can resonate with that feeling, right? You looking and saying, "Someday I'll go there, but not today." Today's not a really good time, but someday I'll go there. Someday I'll do that. And I think we do that even in our relationships and even in our relationship with God and what He's calling us to, the adventure that He calls us on. We say things like, someday I'll be more intentional with my marriage. I mean, I know what kind of husband or wife God wants me to be, and someday I'll go there. But right now, there's just a lot going on. Someday I'll go there as a parent, and I'll really make my faith a priority in my family's life, and I'll point my children to Jesus, and I'll make church a priority that we would be committed to. Someday I'll do that. Someday I'm going to really accept the challenge to serve others right where I am. Someday I'll start a small group where I can just pour into other people's lives. But Monty, so much is happening right now. And we all have kind of reasons why we become content with just sitting and staring at maps instead of going on a great adventure. And as I look at our culture, it seems to mark this culture more and more. Just think about it. When you look at how many hours that we spend engaging and watching TV, we watch The Voice or American's Got Talent or The Bachelor. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I know some of you do. Dancing with the Stars, or whatever it is, right? There's even a new thought, you know, what is that binge-worthy, right? We, you know, we're going to binge Netflix. Is that binge-worthy? Should we watch that? And just think about how many hours we engage in social media. Scrolling, right? Screen time. We're very knowledgeable about things, and we can talk about a lot. But the problem is we love to watch other people live out their adventures, their dreams, and we miss the opportunity to live out our adventures, our dreams. And so over these next few weeks, as I said last week, I want to invite us onto this great adventure with God. And this series is really, you know, as we come out of a series about Jesus is coming back in the last days, and I shared with you that really we are in the last days, our last days, right? These are the only days that we have to live out God's adventure in our lives. And so the challenge is, you know, to all of us is to take the next step in our journey of faith. Because if we're not careful, we can become content in our spiritual growth and just stay in the same place year after year. And nothing really changes. And you have no new story of adventure to share of how God is using you and changing you. And I so want us to be a church that is full of explorers, right? Ready to take the next step with God. And so in this series here and over in the adult Bible study, we're kind of walking through just some words that characterize what it really means to live out and be on this great adventure. Last week I talked to you about being uniquely shaped for the adventure God is calling you to and has prepared in advance for you. And over the next few weeks, we'll talk about serving and sharing and sending. Today, I want to talk to you about seeking. Because I really want us to be a people that kind of put our maps away and go on a great adventure. To not just watch or read about other people's stories, but to be able to tell our own. And so this morning's message is just simply seek. To go all in and become seekers. You see, seeking God is not just a one-time event where you meet Jesus and then you're ready. It's all over, right? No, it's a constant journey. A constant decision. And that's what I want us to focus on today. And I want us to look at some of the greatest seekers in the Bible, the disciples. You remember when the disciples first encountered Jesus? They had an all-in response. And Jesus literally walked by their life, walked by their boat, and as he walked by, he gave an invitation, follow me. And the disciples all of a sudden realized that there was something about this man that was different than any other man. There was something about Jesus that made them want to go all in. And the Bible tells us at the instant he said, follow me, that they left everything. They left their boats, they left their trade, they left their town, they left their families, because there was something about him that caused what was in them to want to seek him with everything, to be all in. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that they said to Jesus, check back in 3 months when my calendar is clear, or check back later after I've considered your offer. It's almost like they couldn't help themselves. It was like a magnet that drew them to Jesus, and they were fully all in. And that word disciple is mathetes, which literally means learner. Pupil, student. There was something about this journey that they had begun with Jesus that put them in the seat of a learner. There was something about following Jesus that meant that they were constantly going to be seeking more and more of him. And we today, we get to choose if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus or not. And if you're going to truly be a disciple, then you truly have to continue in the journey of learning and seeking. I don't care how long you say you've been around church or how long you say you've known Jesus. I promise you, I guarantee you, there are aspects of Jesus you don't know yet. There are facets of His wonder and His power that you have yet to discover. There's so much more. Aspects of His glory and His greatness that you and I have not even come close to seeing yet. So much more to discover. Which is why we have to constantly be reminded that this is a journey of being a seeker of Jesus. And I know He came to seek us, and He came to seek too, but it's our job to seek Him. That's why it says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That we're supposed to draw near to Him, and when we draw near to Him, guess what? He draws near to us. But there's something that has to come from our direction towards God. I was just thinking, maybe we've got so much information that we've stopped seeking revelation. Maybe we've got so many opinions that we've stopped seeking truth. Maybe we've become so immersed in our culture that we've stopped seeking the kingdom. Maybe we've had so much excess that it's caused us to seek less. Maybe we'd rather scroll than we would seek. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on a journey every single day of my life where when I get up, I want to find more out about my Jesus. I want to discover more of His love. I want to discover more of His grace, more of His truth. It's a constant, all-in journey. You are a seeker. And maybe you just forgot that. Maybe you've forgotten that it's your job to seek. And so I'm just here to remind you that you're a seeker. Because if you don't realize you're a seeker, then you'll become a hider, right? I mean, when you play hide and seek, there's only two roles. You're either seeking or you're hiding. I mean, just think about that. What was the first thing that happened when sin entered the garden? What was the first thing that happened in Genesis 2 when sin entered Adam and Eve's life? They went from seeking to be with God to hiding from God. They went from seeking to walk with Him in the cool of the day to hiding from Him. And I begin to think about it, why was it? And really, I think it's because the enemy doesn't want you to be reminded that you're a seeker. That you're a seeker. The enemy's trying to get us busy hiding. You know, he's trying to get busy hiding you in lies, and hiding you in shame, and hiding you behind your failures, hiding behind your disappointments, hiding behind your pride. You're not called to hide. You're called to seek. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're a seeker. You're a seeker. I get to be a grandparent these days, and so my grandchildren call me Gumby, and my grandchildren love to play hide and seek. And I'm so excited that that game never seems to die, right? And they just love to play hide and seek. And if you're a parent in here or a grandparent in here, I highly recommend that you embrace the game of hide and seek, because basically, you know, you got all these kids going crazy and all of a sudden they just go and disappear for a while. And they think it's a game, right? And you just kind of get to sit back and go, oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome, right? And so I'm all about hide and seek. Go hide for a long time, right? It doesn't cost you anything. It's awesome. Well, the last time I was up there, you know, they wanted to play hide and seek with Gumby, and so Gumby had to count, Gumby, count. And so I start counting, you know, 1 to 10, and then, ready now, here I come. And little, you know, my little grandchildren, they don't hide too well. They actually want you to find them, I think, right? And so they're hiding like in plain sight. It's kind of like hunting Easter eggs or something. You just throw them all out on the ground, you know. And so I'm going around, I'm trying to act like I don't see them, you know, and they're standing right there, and they're like going, I'm right here. Come on, Gumby. You know, and then I find him and we hug and we laugh or whatever. And I get, and then they say, Gumby, you hide, Gumby, you hide. Now, Gumby is competitive. And so I'm going to hide somewhere. They, you know, it's going to be hard for them to find me. So I get in this little cupboard, you know, I'm opening in the cupboard. I don't even know how I get in there, you know. And so, you know, they start coming to look for me and they can't find me. Right? And I try to make a little noise, and other adults begin to say, "Oh, you're getting cold. You know, oh, you're hot." Yeah, and I can't, but they can't find me. Finally, what happens is I hide so well that they just get tired of that, and they quit seeking, and they go off and play some other game. And Gumby's all by himself, and right. And I begin to think about that. When you stop seeking, there are precious things you no longer are finding. There are truths that are hidden for you to find. There is revelation that is hidden for you to find. There is truth inside of the pages of God's Word, and you're going to have to seek Him to find Him. And we just sometimes stop seeking. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And so I want to look at the story of the disciples when Jesus called them to follow him into the great adventure that he was beginning. You know, right, for them to become his disciples and eventually live out his plan for them, his dream from Matthew 28, where it says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I love how Luke and even John teaches us that when Jesus called the disciples, he gave them the opportunity to observe him and seek him. And the truth about this great adventure, you know, and begin to discover the truth about this great adventure that he was about to call them on. In John, the offer to follow is come and see for yourself. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, and this will be kind of our passage this morning, Luke chapter 5. Should have gave you some other time to be turning to that, but Luke chapter 5. Starting with verse 1, it says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. Verse 4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, go out there where it is deeper, and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. It's almost like Simon was saying, you know, listen, you're a carpenter and I'm a fisherman. You know, I've already done it, right? It's not the right time and that's not the right place. But because you say so, I'll do it. And in verse 6, it says, this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. He chose disciples whom he could empower to become like him. And he kind of led them around until they began to imitate him. Then, you know, after the gift of the Holy Spirit, he sent them out to make disciples, to lead other people to imitate them by obeying Jesus. And that strategy, by God's blessing, would change the world. That's our call too. Jesus calls us to be His disciples. And we must know God's Word and Jesus' interpretation of it. We must be passionate in our devotion to that Word and Jesus' example. And as we are filled with His Spirit, we must be obsessed with being like Him as far as it is humanly possible. We must strive for relationship with others so that they will observe us and seek to imitate our love and our devotion to God and our Jesus-like lifestyle. And by God's grace, that strategy can change our world, our families, our marriages, our children, our relationships, our workplace. So here's the question I have for all of us. What's the next step for you? And for each of us, there is an answer. No matter where you are, no matter where you're at on your faith journey, there is a next step that needs to be taken. And that next step starts now. It starts now. Jeremiah says this in 29:3. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, there's this opportunity to continue to seek God wherever you are, wherever you're at on your faith journey. Hebrews 11:6 says, "God is a rewarder of those who earnestly or diligently seek Him." Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "You will seek the Lord and you will find Him if you search after Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." And I've said this before, if you could send a postcard and post-date it 100 years from now to your great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and you had two words to write on that postcard, just one message in two words on that postcard to the fourth generation, what would you write? And as I thought about it, this isn't the only answer, but I think it's really the bullseye, the target. And I genuinely think I would write, "Seek God. Seek God." And of course, if I had three words, I'd write, "Seek God daily. Seek God daily." Listen, that's what it's all about. Everything else will leave you empty. So let me just share with you a couple things about what this really looks like, seeking God daily. First, seeking involves learning and discovery. The disciples had a time to learn about who Jesus was, seek what He was teaching about, and have a personal encounter with Him and His truth. So that when Jesus asked Peter to, for him to borrow his boat, Peter just kept seeking. He said, "Okay," and he kept seeking. And some of you have been coming to church for a little while, but there are still questions. Questions that you have about your faith. Questions like, how do you reconcile the goodness of God with the hurt and the pain and the suffering of so many? Questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? How can I reconcile a loving God with the doctrine of hell? And maybe you have some questions or some doubts, but you don't feel free to explore them, or you don't want to ask them because you're hiding behind them. Because it's almost easier to not know the answers to your questions, because it might cause you to have to make some changes or make some decisions in your life. There might be some serious implications to your life and your purpose. You see, the answers might challenge you to take the next step. So I think sometimes it's easier not to explore. We either hide behind our doubts or we seek truth. And I say that because some people will ask me questions sometimes, and so maybe I'll recommend a passage for them to read, or a book that I think really speaks to that question, or maybe a podcast for them to listen to, or maybe go back to one of my old sermons. And after a while, I'll ask them, "Did you read that book, or did you listen to that podcast?" And they'll say, "No, I haven't had time. I've watched the evolution of dance like 100 times, but I don't have time to seek and explore the truths of God's Word." I mean, we have big questions, but we don't seek. Let's seek. Jesus says, come and see. I mean, even after the resurrection, he says to Thomas, explore for yourself. Come and touch my hands and see where the spear pierced me. Come and see. Stop doubting and believe. But the call to come and see, to seek daily, it's not just for new believers. It's for you that have been in relationship with God for a long time. It should be something we do every day, to seek Him daily, to discover new things about our Savior, to understand Him more. You know, and I've been doing this a while, and as I seek God daily, here's what I discovered. He's still teaching me. He's still teaching me, right? I'm still discovering new truths about my Savior, about my God. And one of my desires as I move forward is to keep exploring and keep seeking God and His great truths, to keep seeking Him daily as I continue on this great journey to go deeper and deeper. It's time to take the next step. And seeking involves learning and discovering. And I'm not talking about an Indiana Jones kind of thing and taking this journey by yourself, right? Seeking involves learning and discovering really together. Together. Most of the time, this great adventure God calls us to is done in community with others. We are better together. It's safer, right? Walking through life with other people in your life is safer. It's less risky. It's supportive. And what I mean by that is it keeps you from giving up. When you're walking with other people, you get the energy to keep on going that you wouldn't have, right? Have you ever been in a marathon? Right? Anybody ever been in a marathon? Oh, I got one back there. Come on. Where you're running this marathon and you start getting this stitch in your side. You ever done that? A little pain there? And you want to give up? That usually happens to me about at mile 20. Actually, let me rephrase that. Step 20. Actually, step 20, my bad. You start going, I can't go on, right? I'm not going to be able to do this. I want to give up. But if you have other people walking with you, you can keep going. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. That's good words. The same is true in our lives. You're going to burn out in life if you go through it without any meaningful, intimate relationships. It's safer. It's supportive. Not only that, but it's smarter. It's just smarter to go through life with a few really close, deep friends. You learn more about walking with others than you do just by yourself. Because, listen, sometimes you may be walking in the wrong direction. And if you're walking by yourself through life, you don't have anybody to go, hey, I think we're off path. We missed it. We got to get back on the right path. You see, seeking involves learning and discovering together. And the second thing is, seeking involves personal involvement. Jesus asked Peter to go out into the deep water and let down his nets. Now, Peter has to make a decision. Up to this point, he had just been an observer, listening and watching Jesus. But suddenly, he's been invited to be a part of the journey, a part of the adventure. Jesus wants Peter to get personally involved. And of course, Peter's a little bit skeptical, right? He knows it's not the right time of the day to catch fish or the right place. But Jesus says, I want you to do it my way. And I don't think Peter thinks it will work. But he says, because you say so, I'll do it. He knows enough about Jesus that he might as well try it. After all, what does he have to lose? He hasn't caught any fish, so why not try it? You see, he took this small area of his life and he surrenders it over to Jesus. And he says, let's see what happens. I'm skeptical, but okay, I'll try it. And I would love some of you to take that challenge. In your life, you've listened to Jesus, and you're still a little skeptical, but you've got this area in your life that's not working out for you. What if you say, because He says so? I don't have anything to lose. I'll just try it. For instance, maybe Jesus is saying something to you about, you know, pray for your enemies. And you go, I'm not praying. What do you mean pray for my enemies? I'm not praying for my enemies. You know, do you know how they hurt me? What? And Jesus says, will you just try it? Or maybe, you know, it comes to your finances, right? And you're really struggling with your finances, and you're trying to do everything you're supposed to do. And he says, why don't you give that tithing here's my tithe little, just throw this right in here for you. Why don't you give that tithe principle a try? Test me on that, God says. What? I'm not kidding. 10%? How about in your marriage? You begin to understand that your way is not working. You don't know if you believe Jesus in this area of your life, but because He says so, I'll throw the net out there. I will seek God and see what happens. I'll pray with my wife. I'll love her sacrificially and speak with gentleness. I don't think it'll work, but I'll try it. Okay, I'll encourage my husband and show him respect. I don't want to. He doesn't really deserve it. But because he says so, I'll try it. God, I'm going to seek you and your truth in this area of my life and just see what happens. And Jesus just seems to welcome that. And so listen, are you going to just sit back and look and listen to other people talk about their adventures with God? Or are you going to trust and seek and join Him on the great adventure He's inviting you to? Let's follow Him. Let's follow Him. Now listen, the invitation that some of you responded to when it came to following Jesus was like, you know, I want you to invite Jesus into your life. You know, someone stood before you and said, I want you to invite Jesus into your life. And you said, okay, I'm not sure. Maybe I still have some doubts, but I want to go to heaven. So I'll invite Jesus into my life. Listen, that's not really the only invitation. Jesus doesn't want to just be invited into your life. That's not what Peter did. All right? I mean, Jesus, I want to invite you into my life, right? That's what Peter said. I'll invite you into my life. We can fish together. I'll teach you how to clean some fish and sell them in the market. No. It's not Jesus being invited into our lives. Instead, the invitation is really to go on an adventure with Jesus. To leave your old life behind and join Him in His work, in His life. That's the invitation. To leave behind your old life and take the next step in the great adventure that He's calling you to. To seek Him by learning and discovering His way. And by becoming personally involved, by surrendering an area of your life. And watching Him bless your obedience. And so I'm just here to remind you today that if you are someone who wants to know more about Jesus, then the journey of seeking must be your first priority. Must be your first priority. You see, my dad was this adventurer, right? He was a seeker, and that was in his heart. And, you know, I could have rode on his story the whole time. But really what I needed to do was that because it was part of his, it needed to be a part, you know, I wanted it to be a part of me. And so listen, it's our Heavenly Father's heart that He is a seeker, right? He is a seeker. Then surely we as His sons and daughters should reflect our Father's heart. So if He is a seeker, we are seekers. And today, I want to encourage you, it's time. It's time to be all in. All in seeking His grace. All in seeking His truth, His word. All in to seeking His forgiveness. All in seeking His ways. That's the great adventure that He's calling us to. That He's calling you to. Will you take that next step and say, okay, yes, I'll do that. And out of your obedience, I just encourage you, watch what He does as He begins to fulfill His plan in the great adventure that He's calling you to. Pray with me, please. Father, I'm so grateful that You wouldn't allow sin and shame to hide us. That You just continually pursue us. And You call out to us. And so God, today I pray for any that have quit seeking. God, I pray that You would reawaken the seeker within them. That, Father, they would seek past their disappointments. That they would seek past their failings. That they would seek past their offense. Seeking past their pride. And so if that's you today, if you just have this desire to be a seeker, as we are here in this prayer, in this attitude of prayer, if that's you, I just want to simply ask you to put your hand on your heart. And just to say, God, I'm looking today. I'm searching today. I need to be forgiven today. I need salvation today. I need to come home today. And then kind of just place that hand on your heart. And that's you saying, I'm seeking You, God. I'm seeking You. And God, as that hand is on that heart, God, I pray today that as they surrender, that they find Your sweet saving grace. And God, as they ask for forgiveness, that they find Your beautiful faithfulness. God, that they might be reminded that You went all in for us when You sent Your Son to the cross. So, Father, today we receive Your forgiveness. We receive Your salvation. Thank You, Jesus, that today is a new day for every single one of us that has a heart that wants to seek after You. Help us to do that, to seek You daily. Learning more and this discovering more about You together. Being involved in every area of our lives where we surrender over to You, God. God, fulfill Your great adventure in our lives as we seek You every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.